Welcome back to Overdrive. Jim Taddy subbing for Brian Hayes. O-Dog and Noodles in their regular spots. Now we're dealing with the Toronto Raptors, who lost Ibaka and Gasol in the weekend, but have added Baines and now Alex Len, and of course re-signed Chris Boucher and Freddie Van Vliet, got the Brinks truck, and so things are headed in the direction the Raptors had planned in terms of plan B, I guess. Let's bring in Jack Armstrong, our NBA analyst. At Hello Jack is the Twitter account to analyze this. Jack, welcome. How are you today, sir?
Jim, Noodles, O-Dog, pleasure to be on with you guys. I love the music, by the way. Rolling Stones, a little Jumpin' Jack Flash. Gotta love it.
Don't think it was Jumpin' Jack Flash, but nonetheless.
Jimmy.
It was.
Was it?
Wasn't it? Yeah, I think
Come on. Well, sorry, Come we on. Have a rookie host on today, Jack. Jesus.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, yeah, whatever. Anyways. I just did that to see if Noodles was awake, and I could look at his sweatshirt and see he hasn't changed it. But anyways, Jack, with Baines and Len down the middle and Boucher, be the coach here. How do you play these guys? What's the role?
Well, I think, first of all, Jim, it was a big blow losing Serge Ibaka. I don't think as much a big blow losing Marc Gasol. I think at his stage of his career, I think it's a much better fit being in Los Angeles with the Lakers, where he's going to have a very limited, tight role, which he can still do at this stage of his career. But to bring him back without Serge Ibaka, I think there was going to be a lot of heavy lifting for him. And based upon his injury history last year, I don't think it was worth doing. And I like the fact that, Aaron Baines, I think, will help them. I mean, the guy's tough as nails. He is a tremendous defender. He's got that quickness and switchability to him. He's going to rebound the ball on both ends. He's going to set hard screens. He's improved as a shooter. And Raptor fans will remember him when he played in Boston. And I would argue that if the Celtics had him this year, they would have been in the NBA Finals if they had a guy like him. They didn't have enough size and toughness. And he brings that. So I think he'll help the Raptors a lot. I think when you look at Alex Len, I mean, he's a guy that was a very high pick, and quite frankly, it hasn't worked out. It's more about his potential, and it hasn't been where he's been very consistent and produced. There's talent there. There's ability. Let's see maybe if Nick Nurse can get it out of him. And I think for a kid like Chris Boucher, he had some really good moments last year in terms of his shot blocking, his quickness and ability to run the floor and finish, play with energy, a little bit streaky as a shooter. But I think with the fact that he's going to have a chance to maybe play a little bit more uninhibited and not look over his shoulder and feel like he's going to have a chance to play every night, I find that when he knows he's going to play and he's being counted on, he plays at a pretty good level. He just has to be consistent. But again, Ibaka is the loss. Again, with all due respect, Marc Gasol's had a Hall of Fame career. We had Hakeem Olajuwon here in 2001, 2002 at the tail end of his career. And I think for the Raptors, in terms of fit right now, I think what they have here in place will be solid. I mean, they'll still be okay. They're going to have to generate opportunities in other places. Guys like OG Anunoby has to take that next step. Siakam has to get back to what he was the first half of last season. Lowry still needs to stay upright and play at the level he played at. Norm Powell, his consistency. Can a Matt Thomas, a Patrick McCaw, the internal development come around? So if you get that, there's no question that this is still a playoff team. Are they an elite team? Only time will tell.
Well, it's not a ringing endorsement you gave there, and I think a lot of people look at Ibaka and Gasol and how specifically they work, but what you've outlined there is really how we talked about the Raptors when there were injuries. Everybody has to add a little more to their game, don't they?
Well, I'm trying to be realistic and fair and honest, you're losing Serge Ibaka, you can't cut it any other way. I mean, you're losing a really good piece that was definitely a contributor towards winning. I mean, you had the second best record in the NBA this past year. I mean, that's really good. And I think Serge Ibaka had a career year. So you're going to miss him. There's no doubt about it. But do I think this team still is is capable of being good? Yes, absolutely, definitely. They got a great coach, not a good coach, a great coach, and Nick Nurse that will figure it out. There are going to be times where they got to play a little smaller, a little quicker. There'll be different looks that they'll give people. But everyone sold them down the river a year ago when Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard left, and they figured it out. Now they lose another two pieces from that championship run in Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol. They got to figure it out again. But there's still, I would call it the residue of winning, that institutional know-how that good organizations have, that, you know, if you count them out, you know, you think of, you know, and O-Dog and Noodles, you guys know this. They were many years in a row, like, the Devils were just so boring, but somehow, some way, every year they reinvented themselves. So, to me, I think the Raptors just have to be that solid team, and we'll truly find out if the moves that they made now are going to pay off, particularly, you know, 12 months from now when the 21 class, free agent class, is available, and they have a lot of cap space to play with.
Well, Jack, that's where I was going to head. You were saying that with Baines and Len, it's potentially what you would call maybe a softer landing, you know, as far as a step away from Ibaka and Gasol. What about paying Fred VanVleet? You know, we were talking about in the last segment, and I can only use the hockey analogy. Is he a guy that would put more pressure on himself now that he's got paid? Will he be fine? I know he's a class individual. He's a fantastic player, and he deserved the contract. But, you know, do you see him maybe changing his style a little bit, putting more pressure on him, adding more responsibility to himself because he got the big contract?
I don't think he will. No, I think he's a guy that, you know, I mean, people say steady Freddy. I think a reason they say that, his habits are great. I mean, his game is all about, I mean, just habits, consistency, the commitment to the grind, doing things the right way every day, dotting the I's, crossing the T's. So guys like that don't have a lot of variation and volatility in their game because their foundation and their base is really good, and it comes from a good place. So I'd be surprised at that. I would say the area that would force that, and we saw this against Boston a little bit, was that when you ask him to do too much. And, you know, Nick Nurse in the playoffs last year, particularly against the Celtics, only trusted seven guys. And there were times that Marc Gasol got to a point where he was unplayable. And with all due respect to Pascal Siakam, we all know this. He really struggled. He didn't look close to the guy that we saw in the first half of last season. Now, if that situation arises again, yeah. Now, Fred VanVleet will be put in a position where he has to do too much, and I think that gets him too much in areas where are not his strength. But if other people around him, and I think Siakam will perform back to the level he's capable of, and I think their front court guys will do a solid job, then I think a guy like Fred VanVleet can stay in his lane and do what he does and be very, very good.
Jack, I want you to put some optimism on some tweets for me, because when everyone was referring to the Raptors' moves and transactions, they followed it up with position themselves nicely for next summer. Can you put some optimism on that, or what could that be, a positive spin for Raptors fans? Or is that one of those things where the Raps are going to be like, maybe we got a shot at Giannis, and if we don't, maybe we're doomed forever? How do you kind of spin that, and what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I don't put a lot of credence in Twitter or any of that stuff. I think it a lot of the people that are on it just start yelling and screaming and just want to be hot takes and inflame other people. So, I'll react to your reference to it because I respect your opinion. To me, I think that, as I said before, we won't know truly the MO and whether this was worth it until 12 months from now, when, in fact, maybe a Giannis will be on the market, maybe he won't. And there'll be other players on the market as well that are good players. I think you reach a point. To me, going into this year, I'm all about, hey, let's make the playoffs an eight straight year. and then let's try to improve during the season and see how it goes. I mean, last year they had the second best record in the NBA. There's 28 teams behind them. So, I you know, again, you lose Ibaka and Gasol, yes, that's an area of concern, but are you going to drop dramatically? I'd be surprised at that. This is still a playoff team. And if they get some internal improvement and some guys play the way that they should play, and again, they need Siakam to get back. They need Anunoby to take that next step to validate next spring when he and his agent sit down and say, okay, it's payday time. Well, he's got to show that he can take that next step. If you get that, suddenly you're right back in the hunt again. And so to me, then, I think the biggest thing for Toronto or any good market, which Toronto is, you want to recruit from a position of strength, and that's winning. And I still think they're going to be able to recruit from a position of strength, and that's winning. And you also got to make a decision. When you look at the team, when they lost to Boston in the bubble, whatever you want to say about Siakam and Gasol, the reality is you lost. And then you got to say, hey, look, is our window closing in terms of the ability to win a championship with this group? Do you try to reboot? Do you try to maybe have a bridge year where you have some good core foundational ingredients still in place and then try to bridge to a new run at a championship? I think it's bold, but I like it because a lot of people just kind of keep rolling along and then the bottom falls out quick and now you're in a five-year real rebuild.
Talk to us about Siakam. I mean, obviously that wasn't the game that he wanted to play as the Raptors faded out at the end of the season. He didn't look good. It was an odd look is the term I like to use. And it could be a learning experience for him. What does he have to do to get to where he's supposed to be?
Be a learning experience because they're paying him a whole lot of money, and who much is given, much is expected. And you know, it's a big boy business, and you know, you put that pen to paper, you got to produce. So the expectation's going to be there. And now, you know, a guy like Ibaka and Gasol, you know, they're reliable veteran players, particularly Ibaka at this stage of his career. You're going to miss that, so you're going to need consistency. And people focus in that much more on you, and there's less proven guys around you to pick up your slack. So you got to now make it easier for the other guys. You got to make it easier for Patrick McCaw or Matt Thomas if they get a little bit more run this year. Or, you know, Malachi Flynn gets thrown into the mix and plays 8 or 9 minutes in a game. You know, they got to count on you to show them the way. So... what does he have to do? I just think he has to get back to concentrating on being who he is, and that is a guy that outruns people, out-hustles people, out-quicks people, plays with just off-the-charts energy. And you know, I think sometimes when you get the big contract, everyone starts telling you, well, you got to shoot more threes, and you got to be this, and you got to be that, and you become a little bit more caught up in the finesse element of it. And, you know, he's got to me, you know, he made his money and he made his impact by being that just hard-nosed, hungry player, kind of like a poor man's Dennis Rodman. And just, you just outplay people. And with all that athleticism and quickness and energy, you can go a long way. And yeah, oh yeah, okay, tighten up your handle, improve your ability to trigger your game, improve your ability to shoot the ball from distance. I get all that. But don't forget who you are and what got you there. And to me, he's got to get back to being a junkyard dog.
Jack, how are things going to work for you? Are you buying some swim trunks and heading down to FLA? Are you stationed up here, or how's it all going to work out?
No, I'm going to be stationed in Toronto. We're going to be calling the games remotely. So, and with this Irish skin, I think too much time in Tampa probably would be a good thing.
Jack, I think you could have found a way to add a good time down in Tampa.
You know what? Yeah. It's interesting. I have played more golf this year than I did in the last 3 years. And I still suck, but I'm having more fun doing it. And I'm killing it at the 19th hole.
Well, you have to think that Leo's got a spot for you down. Doesn't Leo live in Florida half the time?
Leo, yes, he's a Florida resident, actually.
I think he's back up here now.
Wow. Yeah, I actually have a place on the other coast in Florida, Delray Beach. My wife enjoys it. Rarely do I get to enjoy it, but you know, it's all about keeping your wife happy. That's what it's all about.
That's true. I had one last question for you, Jack. Do you think the Raptors are done, or do you think that there's one other potential, maybe small move or something like that, where they could, you know, help solidify their team? You think that there's something in the works at all?
I think if they do something at all, it'll be, you know, adding a minimum guy, a veteran minimum guy.
Right.
You know, and the other thing that's hanging over here right now that none of us know the answer to is what happens with Terrence Davis. You know,
right.
He's got the legal charges pending, and they have to decide whether they guarantee his contract or not, and that's coming up this weekend. So to answer your question, I think probably some of that will have to do with what the decision is on Terrence Davis.
Jack, one more before we let you go. Shouldn't they have re-signed the decision makers for this team? Why is this an ongoing saga, if you will?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if you know this, Jim, but Bell is one of the owners, along with Rogers and then, you know, Larry Tannenbaum of MLSC. So there's three parties. And unfortunately, the 37.5% that Bell owns, they've just been overwhelmed because Old Dog and Noodles are taking all the money. So there's no money left for Masai and Bobby.
Tell me about that one.
Jack, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
You got it. Have a great night, guys.
Jack Armstrong, our NBA analyst.
Jimmy, do you want a
Raptors
tip?
Raptors games. Yes, Guy.
Do you want a radio tip, Jimmy?
Sure. Go ahead, Guy.
You don't say that about the music. Even if it was the wrong song, he got the right song.
Apparently it was Brown Sugar.
Yeah.
It was. I was wrong, too. Jimmy, you were right.
Oh, so you were right, Jimmy.
Jimmy was right, but here's the thing. You jammed up our guest because you should have just gone. Don't jack for years.
He can take it. Don't worry about that.
But the point is, Jimmy, you don't say that to the guest. It starts the interview off on the wrong foot.
Was that not a good interview?
As a journalist, you like to get things right.
Jimmy, you're not a journalist, bud. You're a TV radio guy. You're not a journalist.
Well, I could say something, but...